Hey guys. Hi, my name is Michael. I have a new life in Christ and I'm recovering from anxiety and fear. As a very young child, life seemed wonderful. Growing up with memories of trips to Grandma's house, Disneyland, and Christmas memories of Dad playing his part as a skinny Santa who looked more like Elvis with a white beard than Santa Claus, life seemed like a joyous, almost magical dream. Then at the age of 6, everything abruptly changed and my whole world was shattered and turned upside down when my mother left my father, taking my siblings and I from our secure place, our happy home, into an unstable, dark existence with an abusive stepfather. My memories of these days were filled with thoughts of insecurity and fear. Why? How did this happen? What did I do to cause this? My two places of refuge and escape were at school, where I received positive affirmation for academic and athletics, and in my father's tiny apartment on weekends. Now, my father was a very loving and devoted dad, albeit working with his own issues of insecurity and fear, loved on and taught his children the best that he knew how. My father had a reverence and a respect for God and Christ. He attended church regularly and would tell us when we wanted to sleep in on Sundays that God gave us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The least we could do was give him a couple of hours by attending church on Sundays. So we would attend church with my father, knowing that if we were quiet through the whole mass, we'd be treated to a 7-Eleven Slurpee, which always ended in a brain freeze. As I grew into a young man living this double life of abuse and darkness versus receiving praise and affirmation for my achievements in school and sports, my hope for a joyful life was shaped by the need to achieve and to succeed. I came to believe that if I excelled, then the world would accept me. The world would have me. My life would be driven by do more, be more, have more. Someday I'd find home. Be happy, be free from this pervasive and constant fear, anxiety, and thoughts that told me I am not enough and I'm absolutely not lovable. Now, I'd learned from my father's example to honor and respect God, but my life was void of any personal or intimate relationship with him. God was someone to check in with when I needed something or needed to be bailed out of a situation. But as an adult, my idol, success, was thrown into hyperdrive as I stepped out of college and into the finance and investment world, chasing after the money, the title, the corner office, the big home, the Mercedes, the boat, the travel, the toys, the girls, believing that here in these things, I'd finally find peace, I'd finally find contentment. Then came my monumental day. Single in my early 30s, senior vice president, institutional money manager with a Wall Street investment banking firm. It was a Friday afternoon. I drove my $100,000 car into my newly purchased 5,000 square foot home in West Plano, which I lived in that home by myself. How crazy. I sat on the patio that April muggy afternoon, and I remember looking around at this beautiful home in this yard and thinking, wow, is this it? You know, I finally have it all. I've planted the flag on top of the mountain. I've always dreamed of this place of deliverance that I felt, that I believed would bring me happiness and bring me life. But instead of feeling full and alive, I felt an overwhelming disappointment and feeling of despair as all the illusion of grandeur shattered, dreams crushed as meaningless before me. I recall looking up into a hazy, cloudy sky with the sun peeking out at me from obscurity as if God were winking at me. I remember realizing in this moment that the answer was finding my way to truth and that truth could only be through God. Now, if you're expecting in this part of the story to hear Gabriel's blow his horn or the saints come marching in, that's not the case here. Even with this defining revelation, I began a God-centered vision quest, seeking relief from my pain, fear, depression, and anxiety via spirituality. This search was not Christ-centered, but through New Age practices, metaphysics, philosophy, many paths, one God, the secret, and on and on and on. Ecclesiastes 1:13-14 says, "And I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom all that is done under wisdom. I have seen all things that are done under the sun and have found them to be futile, a pursuit of the wind." Yet in this search, I found myself on many Sundays sitting up in the balcony here at Watermark, half awake, half baked, would cut out early, run down the street to a Buddhist temple, sit on the floor and chant and meditate with the monks. Ecclesiastes 2:23 describes my dark thoughts during my spirituality quest. "Indeed, all his days are filled with grief and his task is sorrowful. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This is too futile." Everything under the sun. I'd been chasing after the wind for years to no avail. This reality was driven home when I heard that a spiritual mentor, a yoga and a meditation teacher, a man I respected and admired for his worldly wisdom of alternative spirituality, philosophy, and psychological tricks, took his own life due to severe depression. His search was a futile pursuit of the wind. Finally, after years of desperately searching, in a moment of despair and suffering, on my knees, I asked God to show me his way. I recall my father telling me when I was a young boy, "Michael, Jesus is the only way to true and eternal life." Now ready to try anything, even possibly surrender, I walked through those doors on a Monday night, anxious and ready to turn to Christ, to this body of believers, in this his program, and give it a shot. First, in step one, I came to admit that I was powerless and my ways were not going to deliver me. And in step two, I was now willing to put all my faith in him, and I came to truly believe that he is the only one that can fully restore and deliver me from my fears and anxiety. In step three, it was now time to trust fully in him and faithfully walk with him. Slowly but surely, as these days in God's word, in his brotherhood, in the words of this program, turned into weeks, then into months, a sense of calm, a sense of peace began to settle my sleepless nights, whereas previously, almost like clockwork, I would wake up at market 3:34 a.m. and lie wretched in the darkness until morning light. That all began to disappear. Now today, when they do reappear, I lean hard into him, I pray to him, and an almost miraculous feeling of comfort, warmth, and peace comes over me, almost like a child cradled in the loving arms of his father. Today, with my faith in him as the only true solution, I feel like I've been delivered. I feel safe. Today, through the love of our Father and my Savior Jesus Christ, the abused and abandoned little boy feels loved. And while the enemy still attempts to trick and trip me with thoughts of unworthiness, fear, or despair, I turn to my Savior and I know all is well. Today, I am captivated by my Holy Father and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, I know I'm loved. Today, instead of seeking life in worldly possessions, status, money, trophies, and people to validate me, I run hard after Jesus. I find my joy, peace, and satisfaction in him, in his house, in his people. I long to serve him. I love serving him. Next week, I'll be in Guatemala drilling a water well in a village that has no access to clean drinking water while sharing his good news and taking ground for his kingdom. Here in Regen, I love and co-lead an amazing group of 14 brave, bold men who encourage, teach, and inspire me more than they'll ever know. If this is your first time through those doors, we know the courage it took to come. We honor your journey. Our hearts bleed with yours. Know that this is a story of redemption. This is a story of victory. Here you find Jesus, the real truth, the real way, and the real life. My name is Michael. I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from fear and anxiety. All the glory is his.